Good Saturday morning. Thanks for tuning in to Local Matters on KTLO, and Happy New Year to all of you sitting at home listening. Hopefully you're at home with the bad weather that we're going to have this weekend. It's a great day to sit and listen to the radio and start thinking about all the money that you can save with your taxes. And it's officially tax season because Marcella Norell of H&R Block is here with us. Morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here.
Happy New Year. Let me be the last one. Yeah, Happy New Year. Tis the season to you. It is officially tax season after that first of the year, and you got a last minute Christmas gift this year because you got a brand new tax law on December 20th.
That's right. Don't you just love it when they wait till the very end of the year and they sign new tax laws? And this year they signed two of them that they slipped in with the budget that a lot of people never even knew about.
We were too busy celebrating to even notice.
Yes.
We'll get to all that information coming up later on in the show. But just, you have to always start off. You have to remind me, is April 15th actually tax day this year?
It is. It's
what?
On a Wednesday. So this year, your tax return for 2019 is due April 15th.
You get no extra days then?
I get one because
it's leap year. That's right.
So February 29th.
There you go. Your calendar must be wide open that day.
Oh, it has to be.
Ready for all those appointments. Okay, so W-2s have to go out by January 31st. So
employers are supposed to have them mailed by January 31st or on January 31st. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't got yours and it's January 31st, mm-hmm. remember they have to get them in the mail that day.
Right.
And you cannot file your tax return without your W-2s mm-hmm. until February 15th.
Okay.
If you haven't received it by February 15th, then you can do what's called a substitute W-2 as long as you know the amounts that need to be on that form. But you have to have your W-2 before you file. If you file before that date.
What other dates do we need to mark on our calendar?
Let's see. We're open every day just about from between now and
Star that,
April
15th. Circle that.
So you don't have to worry about, well, it's a holiday. Are they closed? You know, February 20th is President's Day, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking, a lot of businesses are closed that day. Not at H&R Block. Good Friday this year, unfortunately, falls in tax season, so we're open that day.
You're like KTLO. You're always open.
Always open until April 15th.
And then it's like, I'll see you later.
Well, then we're just there part of the time, but we're there year-round, 4 days a week.
Sure.
At least.
Four locations to serve you here in the area. You can always find the map, schedule an appointment. This is the coolest thing, how you can go online and schedule the appointment at hrblock.com. Type in your zip code and all the different locations here in the area will pop up. The four you're looking for, College Street, of course, Plaza Way on 201 North here in Mountain Home, and of course in Flippin. I can run through all the phone numbers here, but that's probably just going to confuse everybody. It's real easy on hrblock.com. Just go in there and type in your zip code.
You can type in your zip code, find our four locations. You can find a tax pro. Our tax pros are there. Most of them have their picture there. A few of them, they're kind of scary about doing that. But then it also tells which office they're in, what their experience is. So it's a great place to go to find your tax pro. Like you said, you can make your appointment there. More and more people are doing that,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, I'm a middle of the night kind of person because I stay up late. And I'm always, anything I have to do personally, I want the ability to do it in the middle of the night. Because that's when I do it.
Good for you. We are happy that you do that. I am not a middle of the night person. I cannot wait to go to sleep every night.
I'm not an early morning person. Yeah. So, you know.
There you go.
There's our trade-off.
All right. So tell us what we need to know, just like our kind of our overview of, you know, our tax season this year. What are some things that we need to keep in mind, things that we need to be aware of?
This is the first year that there is no penalty for not having health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've been subject to that in the past or you've heard about it in the past, a couple of years ago, they made it part of the tax act that you did not have a penalty. And unfortunately, a lot of people thought it started then, but it did not start until January 1, 2019. So 2019 is the first year that you do not have a penalty. Now that everybody has gotten used to getting the forms in the mail or from your employer that show that you have health insurance, the 1095 series, those forms are no longer needed. there is one of them that's needed if you get it through the marketplace and you receive a premium tax credit, the 1095A. You still have to have that form. But the 1095B and C that you get from your employer or your health insurance company, you do not have to have those forms to file your tax return. Now, here's the little kicker in that. Congress hasn't passed a law that says the companies still don't have to give them to you.
But we're not required to give them to the IRS.
You're not required to have them in your possession. However, that form still has to be provided to you from your employer or your health insurance company. But the due date has been extended on them to sometime in March. So we're going to have people filing their tax return this year and thinking they don't need it. But then in March, they're going to all of a sudden get it in the mail and they're going to freak out.
Yeah. And they're going to call
you. So they're going to call us and we're going to say it's okay. You don't have to have that form to do your tax return.
Is that so, any type of health, like health insurance that they had to have that for? Like if it's group or, I mean, any type?
Okay. The employers, for large employers, were required to give them out. The health insurance companies were required to give them out. So, you know, sometimes some people get two, some get one. There has been so much confusion about that whole 1095A, 1095 series, period, that people really didn't know if they needed it or not. And all we needed it for was to show if they had health insurance. There were other ways we could tell if they had health insurance, but that was supposed to inform IRS that they had health insurance. So if you got audited or something, IRS had proof that you had health insurance. Well, IRS doesn't need to know anymore. So the whole question is why do they even need to file it? And Congress did extend the due date, but they didn't eliminate the requirement for filing it.
You've seen a lot of the premium rates go up pretty significantly over the past few years. A lot of people are struggling with that. A health savings account can become your best friend in some of those situations.
It can. I am a firm believer in health savings account. You know, when they raised the standard deduction and combined the standard deduction and the exemption.
That's a big thing for last year.
That was a big thing. And it's less people are able to itemize. And then something else they were set to do was raise your medical expenses. They had to be over 10% of your income. Well, they've kicked that back or kept the 7.5%. So for 2019, it's 7.5%. But then that was part of the December Act. If you have the health savings account, the money you put into your health savings account to pay those high deductibles you have is deductible right off the top on your tax return. So it's an adjustment to income. It's not an itemized deduction. So that helps tremendously on your tax return if you have a health savings account. And then the money you take out of it to pay those medical expenses is non-taxable to you, provided you use them to pay your medical expenses. So if you have a health savings account, you get a debit card for that account. You go to the pharmacy, you just hand them that debit card. It comes directly out of your health savings account. It's not taxable to you when you take it out, but it's deductible when you put it in. I think that's a win-win.
Absolutely. Can you open one of those at any time of the year, or is it every, like, employers all kind of have different rules about when, you know, when it's annual, it's not open enrollment. That's Medicare. Whatever they call that for the, you know, when during that period, is that typically the only time you can open those, or are those available year round?
Those are available year round, and they're available all the way up to April 15th or the due date of your return. It's just like an IRA contribution. You can make a contribution for 2019. After the end of the year. So you have until April 15th of 2020 to make a HSA contribution for 2019 tax year. And so it's something you can do after the end of the year and still save money on your tax return.
So we're at that time of year where someone might have had, you know, in November, December, some pretty big health care expenses. Well, we still have time to have that set up, put money in there, and get tax relief on that.
That's correct. I tell people all the time, you know, when a lot of people, when they sit down and think about an HSA, and how much they can contribute. You know, they don't have $4,000 out of pocket, and that's not the limit. The limit's higher than that, but I'm just picking that figure. They don't have $4,000 to put into it, mm-hmm. you know, but it's they have maybe $200 that they're going to have to go pay the doctor here next week. So I tell them, go put that $200 in your HSA, mm-hmm. then take your debit card from your HSA and go pay your doctor. Mm-hmm. That way, at the end of the year, we add up how much you've put into that HSA. You put it on your tax return as a contribution to your HSA. You get to deduct it. Mm-hmm. Then at the end of the year, come April 15th, find out what your limit is, because if you're married filing joint, you know, it's higher than $4,000. Then you can go contribute the difference is what you got to contribute before April 15th to get to the max. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to do that, that makes that number a lot smaller. But, you know, you're going to have to pay that doctor anyway.
Right.
Run it through your HSA first. And that way you get that tax deduction.
What happens if you contribute $4,000 to your HSA and have zero health care expenses for the year?
Then it carries over to the following year and the following year and the following year.
So you never lose your money.
No. This is not one of those old
it's
cafeteria.
It's not a slot machine.
It's better than a slot machine. And it's better than any tax deduction. You know, people ask me all the time, should I go buy this? Should I go buy that? You know, for my taxes, especially if they're self-employed. And it's like, only if you need it. Because, you know, frankly, if you go spend $10,000 for something and you don't really need it, you're better off to pay the tax and keep the balance in your pocket. But if you need it, and medical expenses are something we all have eventually, you're going to be able to carry that over all the way into your retirement and use it when you retire. I had a lady that was working that contributed to her HSA, and she kept it after she retired and kept it to pay her prescriptions. That was the only thing she kept out of it, and she'd been retired for about 10 years. And a year or so ago, she ran out of money in it. So she's like, I'm going to have to start paying for those prescriptions. So it's, you know, you can plan on having that. It's a retirement asset.
If I had a deduction for every time Marcella Norell said, only if you need it, I would owe zero money to the IRS every year. Let's take a break. You're listening to Local Matters on KTLO. Welcome back to Local Matters on KTLO. We're visiting once again with Marcella Norell of H&R Block. Four locations to serve you here in the Twin Lakes area. Find them all on Google Maps when you go to hrblock.com and type in the zip code. If not, you can College Street, you're still on. No, you're on 201 North.
I'm at 201
you're
North.
You're at 201
yes.
North.
I'm back in my old office. Yeah. Been there forever. I don't even want to tell you how long I've been there. Actually, I don't care. Doesn't matter.
Well, it just shows the experience you have with your clients and all these. Your ability to think back 4 years ago, oh, they made this change here, but now we got to do it. We were talking about the break. It's pretty amazing. But so kudos to you. Marcella's office is at 201 North, but you can also find HR Block locations at College Street, Plaza Way, and of course in Flippin. Tax day this year, Wednesday, April 15th. No extra days, no holidays. Well, I guess you can't say no extra days because you reminded me we have leap year. So we actually
That's
do.
That's correct. The other important date people have to remember this year, you don't have to remember it. It's a big day in our life. E-filing starts this year, January 27th.
All right, so that's when we can start.
That's when IRS officially opens to accept returns electronically.
That's your Super Bowl?
That's kind of the Super Bowl, yes.
Yeah.
That date was January 21st.
Ooh.
Until Monday of this week.
What's the delay this year?
Yeah, you want to know what caused that? They passed a tax bill as part of the budget that we mentioned before break, December 20th.
Right. So we had to wait for everybody to get back from their Christmas and New Year's break to get all that in the system, and it's going to be a few extra days before they're ready to accept them?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. So when those laws get passed at the end of the year, it's always a toss-it-up in the air, how soon can IRS get ready? They were in pretty good shape to be ready, but one of the things that we need to talk about is that December 20th law. It did something that hadn't really been done in history before that I can remember, and that's a long time. They passed a tax bill that is retroactive to the extenders. Do you remember the extenders, Heather?
I do not. I'm sorry.
The extenders are some things. It used to be called the Bush-era tax cut, and it was things that expired. Mm-hmm. About that time, they quit passing tax bills that were permanent and started passing tax bills that were temporary, that had a sunset clause on them. And so they started calling those the extenders. And every year they would have to, or every couple of years, they would typically have to go in and extend
the extenders,
the credits or whatever they were. And it was all to do with budgeting and, you know, what they had to factor in. So when they passed this tax bill, they never did pass an extenders law at the end of 2017. So in 2019, they started talking about it, and they made the extenders retroactive to January 1st of 2018. So 2018 has some new tax laws, even though you've already filed that tax return. And two of the biggest things that I've seen on there that applies to individuals is if you pay mortgage insurance premiums. And there are people that have that on their mortgage. It's more and more common now to see it than it used to be. And it was not deductible in 2018 when you did your return because it expired, but now it's deductible. So that'll hit some people. It won't hit a huge amount because you do have to itemize in order to claim that. So if you itemized and you had that, then you need to go back and check and see what the amendment might cost you versus how much will it save you. And we're going to give people a break on that. So that's going to be a good thing.
I thought we didn't itemize any longer.
Some people do still.
Okay. So, and they're the only ones that will qualify for this.
That's correct on the mortgage insurance. And typically the people that itemize mm-hmm. are people that have large home interest, mm-hmm. which are the same ones that pay the mortgage insurance premiums.
Okay.
Or if you have large contributions. And then the other thing that will affect more is the energy credit. You know, we've had the energy credit for new doors, new windows, insulated garage doors,
heating and cooling units, refrigerators.
Yes. Not refrigerators. That was a different type of rebate. That was an energy rebate that you could get. That wasn't a credit on your tax return. So, but the heating and cooling units are. Mm-hmm. If they meet like some standard that was put in place like in 2007 or 8, well, most heating and cooling units, mm-hmm. the minimum requirement now is surpassing what it was in 2007 or 8.
It's the SEER
so
unit, right?
It's the SEER unit.
I've heard Matt Martin speak about it on this show. I have no idea what the number is.
I think it's 13.
Yeah, sorry, Matt.
Something like that, but go see Matt. He can tell you. Put a plug in for him. But, you know, if you had any of those things on your 18, that's a credit. A credit is a direct against your tax. So you don't have to itemize. You don't have to do anything else. All you got to do is file that credit, and it reduces your tax. The minimum credit on that is like $200. So that's worth going back and amended for. Uh-huh. So that's something you need to talk to.
Would you get cash back, or would they apply it forward? I mean, how does that work?
You get cash back when you file an amendment, and quite frequently they pay you a little bit of interest. So you get interest and the tax back. It's worth doing.
It is.
Go see somebody if you had that last year. I know I had clients that brought that to me last year because it's been deductible forever. And I had to tell them last year, you know, they haven't extended that. Mm-hmm. So that's one of those things that didn't get extended. So you no longer get it. There were still some energy credits, mm-hmm. but not for the windows and doors and heating and cooling units that people have. It had to be solar, geothermal, something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's worth checking into.
What other changes do we need to be aware of?
Oh, boy. W-4s.
Oh.
We should definitely talk about W-4s.
They're confusing. I have seen it. I have reviewed it. I have had to fill one out with someone, and it took both of us, you know. And I'll let you talk, but it's confusing. How's that?
It is confusing. You know, the old one was confusing.
It was.
It was like a, what was it, 4 pages, I think, or something like that. And but the only part you really had to worry about was the part at the bottom mm-hmm. on the first page.
Right.
So, you know, people would call us and say, you know, all these instructions, what do I do? And we'd say, okay, how do you want it to come out at the end? All right, down at the bottom of the first page, put your name, your Social Security number, your address, and check if you're married, single, how, you know, if you're married but want to withhold it single, check those boxes, and then put 0 for exemptions. That way you're covered.
Right.
Sign it, give it to your employer. Well, the new one looks totally different. It's a 1-page form. Most people only have to fill out section 1 at the top with the name, Social Security number, and filing status, and then sign the bottom.
Right.
That's what most people have to do. There's other things that you have to consider, whether or not you have 2 jobs. It tells you to go to different parts of that 6-page form now, I think it is. And then, you know, if you have more than 1 job, if you're married, whatever you want to do there. The thing people need to remember about W-4s, W-4s are designed to tell your employer how much to withhold, as if that's the only job you have, the only income you have. And it's going to withhold enough to make your tax come out at 0 or your refund come out at 0, or you have 90% of your tax paid in.
Right.
Well, when it's
your tax savings account.
Yeah, it's your tax savings account. It's designed so that at the end of the year, you owe IRS less than 10%. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to owe IRS 10% at the end of the year, then you need to think a little bit harder about filling that out and just going with what they have, because you can still request additional to be withheld. Mm-hmm. And, I tell people, you know, it's the first question is, do you want a refund when you file your return, or do you want to owe? Because we need to fine tune this enough that if you don't want to owe.
Has anyone ever answered, I want to owe money to the IRS?
No.
Okay.
No. And the question we're going to be getting on this, the biggest question is there a penalty if I get too much back?
Right.
If I get a refund, is there a penalty? I still get that question from when they changed the W-4 probably 20 years ago, you know, and I remember kind of, it was back in the late 80s, I think, and years run together with me. I'm sorry, they just do. But I think it was in the late 80s, and they redesigned a W-4, and that's when they come up with this 90%. And there was some kind of wording in there that when you read it, it made people think they were going to get a penalty mm-hmm. if they had too much withheld. And I still get that question from way back then. There is no penalty if IRS owes you money. IRS doesn't even care if you file a tax return if they owe you money.
Right.
Because if you come back and file it 2 years later mm-hmm. and they owe you money, they do not charge you a penalty. If you don't file it within 3 years of the due date and they owe you money, you don't get your money back. That's considered a dead return. And so if you have a refund coming, you do not get it. We have people that come in and only file every 3rd year. As long as they have a refund, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. If they owe, they're going to get penalized.
Right.
So the new W-4 is in effect. Any employee that started after January 1st of 2020 has mm-hmm. to fill out the new W-4.
Right.
If you had continued employment from the same employer you had before, you can keep your W-4 that you had in place before. Mm-hmm. And employers are required to either use the pre-2019 or the pre-2020 withholding tables mm-hmm. or to use the 2020 withholding tables. So like in our software, we have a box that we have to check which withholding tables to use. This was all done as part of a Transparency Act, which to me is kind of a misnomer, because I can ask anybody, you know, what are you claiming on your W-4? Mm-hmm. And most people don't know. And next year in 2021, I say, what are you claiming on your with W-4? And they won't even know which year they're claiming, whether it's pre-20 or 2020. The next question will be, when's the last time you filled out a new W-4? So, you know, if they
well,
want
to... If you've been employed somewhere for 10 plus years, I mean, you have no idea.
No.
And you're at a total different stage in your life than you were when you filled that out.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. A lot of employers put it on their check stubs, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of small employers out there that don't have that capability to put it on the check stub. So the only thing you can do is go back and have your employer check your W-4. And it's very important. We're going to spend a lot of time this tax season mm-hmm. talking to clients about, you know, have you changed jobs?
Right.
Have you filled out a new W-4? Are you sure it's accurate? Let's check your withholding.
Especially if you're someone who's used to getting a refund back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're having extra taken out and you plan on... I know you preach to us not to, but you plan in your head, okay, this is what I got last year. This is, you know, you come to expect it. I know it's wrong, but we all tend to do that. And then you change jobs, you could end up owing that much money into the IRS and really be in financial trouble.
Yes. I don't like surprises at my desk. You know, I'm there year round because I want to plan. And tax planning, to me, is more important than your tax return. As long as you've got the planning in place, you know how it's going to come out, so there are no surprises. And that leads, you know, part of our slogan this year and some of our advertising is no surprises. Mm-hmm. Well, that W-4 planning is going to be essential mm-hmm. to those no surprises. You know, before I tell somebody they owe a lot, I always kind of gulp, breathe deep, and say, were you kind of expecting a difference this year?
And that's when you're thankful for text messaging, because you're like, so we have some news.
Yeah, I don't like it. No. I want you to see your face when I tell you that.
No surprises. We have a lot more tax information to talk about. Marcella will be joining us. We've got a few more visits to share with you between now and April 15th. So we look forward to you being on the show and helping us plan our taxes.
Okay. I think that's what we need to do. And yeah, we have at least a couple more scheduled mm-hmm. and it's going to be great to be back.
You got any questions for us? You can always email them in to heather@ktlo.com and we'll put Marcelle on the spot next time and fire off some questions from listeners. But that's always fun. You know, it's always good. We want to hear from you. We didn't talk much this show about our retirees and different things that they need to be looking at. We talked more for our working families, but next show, promise, we'll get to all that.
We will. We will pick kind of subjects as we go
okay.
that are relevant to everybody.
All right. Looking forward to it.
It's great to be here.
You've been listening to Local Matters on KTLO.